It's time. Time for stimulating talk. Time for thought-provoking conversation. Time for the Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600. Turn on your brain and get the real scoop on today's topics and events. Here is Lisa Wexler.
And welcome to the show. We have a lot to talk about today, the two of us, and we're going to get started right away with a conversation with our own Congressman Jim Himes, who captivated a lot of the nation yesterday. If you follow him on Twitter, he was giving us a live blow-by-blow account of his experience being inside the chamber. He was one of the few congressmen to literally be inside the chamber when he was told to grab his gas mask below his seat in the wake of the unrest and incitement to riot that went on yesterday in Washington, D.C. I know a lot of people are using big words, and they're trying to now use words that might let you believe that there's an exaggeration, a hyperbole, if you will. But the reality is it's not an exaggeration. It's not a hyperbole. It's never happened since the War of 1812 that anybody has stormed the Capitol, much less our own Americans, that are purporting to represent what they think is America, and yet they're trying to overturn an election. So let's remember at the core of this what this is really about. It's about Americans trying to overturn a Democratic election. Joining us now is our own Congressman Jim Himes, representing us here in the 4th. First of all, Congressman, how are you?
Good morning, Lisa. I'm, as you might imagine, a little tired. I think 4 a.m. was bedtime last night after we finally finished the joint session and certified, as the Constitution says we must, the victory of Joe Biden. But yeah, there was certainly a pretty unprecedented and pretty frightening intervention in the middle of the day.
I can't imagine you got any. I can't imagine, Congressman, when you actually lay down to wherever it is you rest your head in D.C., that anything other than a rerun of a film of the day's events kept coming at you and coming at you.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, the big questions come out too, right? Big question number one is, how did we ever get to this place where members of Congress are being escorted out of the most sacred spot in our democracy, the floor of the House of Representatives, by police officers with their guns drawn while other Americans are using a battering ram to try to get into the room? How did that happen? That's probably 20 PhD theses right there. You ask yourself the question of could it have been worse? One question that I grapple with, you know, I was here during the Black Lives Matter demonstrations and the riots that broke out. And the difference in security response, you know, in the summertime when we had that rioting in Washington, the security response looked like a battlefield. Thousands of what looked like troops, obviously they were law enforcement, armor, all that sort of thing. Yesterday we saw a completely unprepared and while there were acts of individual heroism, absolutely, on the part of the Capitol Police, there was really no appreciable security presence. And that's, of course, how what happened. So you ask yourself, gosh, what's the difference here? And that opens up a whole can of worms for thinking and discussion. And then you ask yourself, well, if the president can foment an insurrection against the United States government and he's still got 2 weeks to go, what else might happen? So, yeah, there's a lot to think about.
Yeah, there really is. And I just want to unpack a little bit of that. So in terms of the response, because the first thing I thought of is this is maybe a terrible thing to say, but one of the first things I thought of was looking at the sea of faces. If those faces had been black, what would the outcome have been? And I think it would have been far more violent. And maybe I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But I thought so. That was my thought. The other thing I think is important is we recognize when you unpack that, a lot of people thought it was way too excessive, the police response for the protesters in the Black Lives Movement. Is it possible that the police said, next time we have protests, we're not going to respond that aggressively? Or do you think it was, as was reported, that President Trump throughout the day was implored to call out the National Guard, but he simply refused?
Yeah, there's a lot there, Lisa, and you know, particularly on issues of race, because the conversation, which is so important, needs to be had carefully. Let's have that conversation carefully. I don't know what would have happened if the protesters, instead of being 100% white yesterday, had been largely African American. I don't know. But what we do know is the fact, which is, you know, what the government response was. The government's response was heavily militarized. For the BLM protests, when the president wanted Lafayette Square cleared, tear gas was used on peaceful protesters. But yesterday, a bunch of his supporters, a bunch of white supporters of President Donald Trump, managed to make it into the Senate chamber and managed to put the lives of an awful lot of people who work hard every day on behalf of this country at risk. So probably best to leave that there. There's probably a little something to everything that you just said, but the stark contrast between how one disturbance was dealt with versus the other was unmistakable.
One of the things that we saw, we were watching from the outside and you're on the inside, Congressman Himes. And I just want you to understand how horrific it was for all of the people in my world. And the people in my world represent people of every color and every political opinion. It was just, I mean, I just think it's just worthwhile pausing to just say how horrific it was to see people climbing in and breaking glass to disturb the people's business in the Capitol. I mean, they were climbing on the balustrades. We got some audio of the guy who was proud to have left some bloodied evidence in the Speaker Pelosi's office, and he said he left her a quarter and took something from her desk. Did you see that? He identifies as Big O. You saw that, right? There was a report of a woman who was defending Gabby Gifford's office from the crowd who ended up in stitches, having to have stitches in her cheek and lip because she was punched 9 times by these so-called protesters. I ask you this, Congressman Himes. I really want to know your thoughts on this. Yesterday, there was a lot of media, and I saw online, because I follow everyone, there is an effort in some parts of the media to rewrite yesterday's history and say that these people were pro-Trump people, but were in fact Antifa people, disguising themselves as pro-Trump people. Because the narrative is that a true patriot would never have done what these people did. What is your response to that? It's a very real thing going on now in the media.
Yeah, of course. I've seen that, Lisa. And, you know, I've been an elected official for 4 years in the era of Trump. And Trump is unique. And Lisa, you know, because we've been talking for years, you know that I work really, really hard to not, you know, to not overly criticize the other side, to not personalize things, to try to work with the other side. But Donald Trump is unique in that he has taken a, I hope, relatively small percentage of the population, and he has attracted grifters, people like Alex Jones and Roger Stone and Michael Flynn, who are making money off of the syndrome that is Donald Trump. And he has created, let's just say, 20% of the American population who worship him. There's probably no other word. He can do no wrong. And what's amazing to me about that is twofold. Number one, that it happens. I think of Americans as pretty pragmatic, and I'm old enough to know now that in life, when somebody tells you that something is totally black or totally white, or that this person is perfectly good and this other person is perfectly evil, that you're wrong, that you're wrong. Mm-hmm. So it blows my mind that this man has been able to create this cult of personality where you see what you're describing. I don't worry too much that it's going to become mainstream. There were thousands of people involved yesterday. There were lots of cameras. And so I do think the bulk of America knows precisely what happened. And let's name it, Lisa. Again, you know, and I think my constituents know that I work really, really hard, to treat the opposition, the other side, with respect and dignity. But let's be very clear about what happened. The president has been lying to the American people for 2 months now about the outcomes of the election. 60 courts have said that. Last night, Lindsey Graham, Mitt Romney, lots of Republicans have said that. Four people have resigned from the White House in the last 12 hours because of the president's behavior. The president has been lying to the American people for 2 months now. So people like Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley who see an opening. They see an opportunity to be the inheritor of Donald Trump. And so they say, well, my goodness, look, millions of people think that there might have been some fraud in the election. Well, of course they do, because the president has been saying that 24/7 for 2 months, even though nobody else on the planet other than maybe Rudy Giuliani believes that to be true. And so people like Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley say, oh, golly, there's concern out there. There's anxiety. We need to do an investigation. And guess what? Some numbers of Americans, including the ones who breached the Capitol yesterday, think that it's all real, believe the president because they can't not believe the president. And we have what we have yesterday, which is, and there was a moment when I was being taken off the House floor by officers with their weapons drawn and pointed, that I thought this may be it for democracy. That's what happens when you get that kind of demagoguery, that kind of stupidity, that kind of raw ambition. Our democracy becomes at risk. And we need to really reflect on that, because I don't think, you know, other than that small percentage of people who believe that Donald Trump is the second coming of the Messiah, I don't think most Americans want that to happen.
So let me ask you this, Congressman Jim Himes. What do you do with the fact, and I can respect and appreciate that you've been trying very hard your whole career to create a space to always work with the other side. And by the way, that's the way you should be representing people, because, you know, you represent our district. You don't just represent the people who voted for you in the district, right? I mean, that's what you're supposed to do. It shouldn't be an anomaly to have to keep repeating it, although it seems like it is. But let me ask you something. 150 Republicans, the majority of Republicans in the House of Representatives last night to stop the certification of the election. They voted, if their vote had actually carried, and they wanted it to, for sure, then where would we be? We would be having Congress decide who should be the next president of the United States instead of a vote? How do you deal with the consequences of a human being who voted? As far as I'm concerned, that vote was as much of an insurrection as the people who breached the Capitol. That's my opinion. How do you deal with that?
And you're not wrong about that. And by the way, let me make a traditionally conservative argument. The traditionally conservative argument is, and by the way, it's rooted in the Constitution, that the administration of our elections cannot be federalized. You may even remember back, you know, 8 years ago to when the same people who were objecting, who were saying that Congress has a role here, were going out of their minds over things like the federalization of education because of, Common Core standards or that sort of thing. The conservative position is that this is a power that resides in the states. But as I was just saying, for some people, and the representatives who did what they did yesterday were doing it because their constituents believe this, and the constituents believe it because Donald Trump has told them that this is true. That's why what happened happened. But you're absolutely right. There, you know, it's a little bit like the statement that that there was fraud in the election. You know, the Constitution is very clear that we have a completely ceremonial role to open and count the electoral votes. But there were people yesterday who put forward the theory that Congress should ultimately be the decider here, which is just insane.
Because if it hadn't been for the fact that Mitch McConnell finally found a conscience, that Mike Pence finally decided that he had to obey his oath to the Constitution instead of his oath of loyalty to the president, if we hadn't had a Democratic majority in the House, I'm not sure what the result would have been yesterday. And I think Americans need to look at that very closely and carefully. They elected people who voted to overturn our election, and they had no power to do so. They had no authority to do so. And I'm stunned by that. I am much more stunned and upset by that than I am at whatever group of protesters managed to storm the barricades. That's upsetting in a short-term, horrific way and needs examining. But the fact that we have leaders in this country, people that will be making policy that will affect me, and that they did this, I can't get over that so fast, Congressman Himes. I can't, and I won't.
Well, let me make a point that I think is important, because I always try to sort of bring this back to what can we do. Let me say this. I know I'm going to irritate some people in saying this, but, you know, the Republican Party has a problem. They brought to this country Donald Trump, and prior to that, you saw Sarah Palin. You know, this party that used to be the party of John McCain, a man who I admire immensely, has a problem. But let's set that aside. What we saw yesterday and what we've seen with Donald Trump is a human phenomenon, not a Republican phenomenon. It's a human phenomenon. You know, this has been going on for thousands of years. The Greeks talked about demagoguery, right? And they feared demagoguery. You know, people are susceptible to wanting a leader who has all the answers and who tells them what they want to hear. That's called a demagogue. And again, it's not a Republican problem. It's a human problem. It happens to be a Republican problem now. But here's the thing, Lisa, and this is a human thing. I'll tell you what was in the hearts of the people yesterday, because I saw them. And I went to the MAGA rally the night before, and I stood there for an hour and listened, because I wanted to understand this. When you think that you and only you have the truth, and everyone else who thinks differently is not only wrong, but they are evil, you know who you are in that moment? When you have the only received truth and everyone else is wrong and evil, you are Taliban. You are the Taliban. Now, you know, obviously you're not literally the Taliban, but around the world there are extremists who believe that people who disagree are evil. And that's how you get violence on Capitol Hill. That's how you get Americans deciding that they should try to overthrow their own government. So my point here, Lisa, and I don't mean to be preachy, my point here is that life is complicated. It's weird. No one has all the answers. Lots of people have right answers. Lots of people have wrong answers. The same people have right and wrong answers. But if you're running around thinking that what happened yesterday was Antifa and that Donald Trump is right and this all makes sense and it's a good thing, you got to step back. You got to step back and ask yourself whether you're being a responsible American citizen and thinking about what you see, or have you become a devotee in some cult? And again, let me not – I know I'm irritating Republicans in saying this, but it's not a Republican thing. It's a human thing. And if we're going to be a good country, we're going to have better citizens, better, thoughtful, more critical citizens than the one who decided that they were going to commit violent acts in the very heart of our democracies yesterday.
Are you going to be personally trying to move in any direction towards removing Donald Trump from office before January 20th?
Well, look, you know, Donald Trump has to be held accountable. And, you know, it seems like a million years ago, but it was only 2-3 days ago that Donald Trump was committing the crime of trying to intimidate Georgia election officials into fraud. We heard the we heard the phone call. That's illegal. It's illegal under federal law. It's illegal under Georgia law. So Donald Trump will be held accountable, and I hope he's held accountable quickly. You know, as a practical matter, to answer your sort of impeachment question, you know, the Congress is adjourned at 4 a.m. last night, there's no plans to bring it back. As a practical matter, impeachment is not likely to happen. But no, the man must be held accountable for the laws that he has broken. And it's going to be hard managing that, Lisa. Look, Joe Biden on January 20th is a fresh start for this country. And, you know, Joe Biden is not a partisan warrior. Joe Biden is a man who his entire career has reached out to the other side, including people like Strom Thurmond. You know, Joe Biden, racist Southern senators. He said, you know, I got to work with these people, so I'm going to build relationships. I think January 20th is a new start, and we're going to have a really hard time managing the fresh start aspect of late January with the fact that some people absolutely need to be held accountable, not just for what happened last night, but for lots of other law breaking and other things that have occurred in the last 4 years.
Yeah, Congressman Himes, and by no means is it over. I mean, the defiance in President Trump, even this morning with the tweet, the headline out, he's urging to peaceful transition. But if you read his tweet, he was repeating again and again, we got stolen, we got this, we're the victims. It's just 13 days is going to seem like a really long time. So anyway, Congressman Himes, thank you for representing us. It looks like our public servants now need to be brave as well as everything else they need to be. And thank you for hanging out last night and seeing that the will of the people was done and the business of the people was done despite those who would have obstructed it and stopped it. Thank you for that.
Thank you, Lisa. Look forward to talking to you again.
You bet. Congressman Jim Himes representing us in the 4th. We'll be right back with more of the Lisa Wexler Show coming up.